Okay, so we're going to continue discussing our first date. Smile puts you at ease, it puts the other person at ease. There's a great counselor, financial counselor in the U.S. named Raiti, R-A-H-I-T-I, something like that. I think it's an Indian name. He says, you come to negotiations, smile. It automatically puts the other party at ease. So that's a tool we should use. It's easy in certain times to smile. It's harder at other times. After I was dating for about 2 years and I didn't see the light at the end of the tunnel, I would force myself to take a nap before a date, take a shower, and then take a piece of chocolate and suck on a piece of chocolate till I got to the date. So that at least I'd have something sweet in my mouth to start the date, but hopefully you'd continue with something sweet, right? It's a good idea to come to a date well-rested. You want to come to a date with clean clothing. A person might say, but I walk around like a schlach all week long. Yeah, but you're putting your best foot forward. Don't worry, she'll see who you are. You shave before a date, you shower before a date. If you put on cologne or aftershave for Shabbos, you could put it on for a date. Don't overdo it, but you want to show up looking nice. Brush your teeth, take a drink, go to the restroom, have some money in your pocket. You're going to go to a hotel, you're going to want to buy your drink. Not every makolet or kiosk accepts a credit card. Have cash in your pocket. 50 shekel, because if you're going to buy a cup of water at a hotel, it's going to be 20 shekel per cup. So you got to have 50 shekels in your pocket. Take your cell phone along. I recommend shutting the cell phone on a date. I think that's derech eretz. Be focused on the person you're talking to. Take down on a notepad her name and the short summary of the information you have. Because maybe the first girl you're dating, that'll be easy. By the fifth girl or the tenth girl, I was dating my wife, and I didn't remember her name. You know, we were on the 30th date, and I'm sitting there racking my brain. You guys probably have better memories than I do. What?
You don't know, right?
Now I could say honey, and I'm okay. That's but you can't do that on a date. So I do recommend, if you could write down on a small piece of paper her name and a little bit of information. And I used to write it on a tissue. So if I had to, I'd take out a tissue, she didn't have to know. It wasn't like I was taking out a notepad and looking at it in the middle of the day. It's a good idea to have your shirts looking clean and fresh. If you're wearing a button-down shirt, you should probably iron it. Try to schedule your dates early. It's not nice that a young man and a young woman are out after 11 o'clock at night. You guys should try to end your dates by 11, 11:15. You should have her home or wherever she wants you to let her off. But you want to end at a decent time, so start at a decent time. We discussed no alcohol on the date. We're showing up to the first date, and now we begin. Don't judge based on first impressions. Go easy. Get to know the person. Sometimes a person can be very, very interesting, and if the person is very interesting, so then sometimes you take a liking to the person, even though they have a crooked tooth. Like someone told me, I hated her nose the first 3 dates, but now I love her nose. That's character. Okay, fine, teach his own. He married the girl. And he'd always talk about her beautiful nose. Okay, fine. To each his own. I'm just saying the personality is where you connect. And if you connect on the personality, then other things fall into place. So you don't have to be so focused on deciding right away, do I like her looks, don't I like her looks, is she funny, is she not funny, is she nice, is she not nice. Give it time. The best date is where things go, they flow, they're natural. Obviously, you meet a person for the first time. It's rare that it's going to flow the first time. Don't be quick to judge on that. I remember I was dating a girl. On the third date, she had barely spoken a word. So I called up the woman who set us up, and I said, look, I don't want to break her heart if I say no. I have no reason to say no, because I don't know anything about her. She's barely said a word in the last 3 days. But on the other hand, I don't want her expectations to go up, because I don't know anything about her. So the Shadchanit was very smart, and she said to me, you wanted a modest girl, right? You think a modest girl is going to start talking to you on the first date and the second date and just like that? So, okay, fine. She sold me, and we continued. Don't be quick to judge. You have to be far more certain to say no than you have to be to say yes. When you're saying yes to another date. When you're saying no to life. So you go on the date, and you let things flow, and if you find yourself talking more, there's nothing wrong with that. My mother always says, a good shidduch, when they're dating, he's doing most of the talking. When they're engaged, they're equal. And when they're married for the rest of life, she's going to be talking and he's going to be nodding. So if you find yourself talking more, good, so you're comfortable with this, so long as you feel comfortable. Make sure there's no yichud. Make sure you're not in a place where you're all alone and no one would show up. Don't play games with that. We're all human. And especially if you're a chozer b'tshuva and she's a chozer b'tshuva, so old habits die hard. A person has to know his weaknesses and a person has to preclude those weaknesses. So ensure that you're dating in a modest place where there are other people and a place where you won't succumb to temptation. And this is true on the first date, and this is true on the 10th date, and this is true after you're engaged, this is true until you're married. We're all human beings, and a person has to be careful. That's the advice I give the guys in Merkaz Harav after they get engaged. I tell them...
That logic is like, oh, we're getting married anyway. It's very hard to, like,
Right. Once a person's engaged, so hopefully he has even more affections for the other person. I tell all the guys in Merkaz Harav, those who I talk to, I don't care how frum you are. You're a human being. We all have our weaknesses. Chazal said yichud, and yichud is the minimum, not the maximum. It's up to us to see beyond that and ensure that nothing happens. So what do we talk about on the first date? So ordinarily, people speak about their family. But my father's a drug addict, so don't talk about your father. But my mother is too, so don't talk about your mother. But my siblings are in jail, so don't talk about your siblings. So who can you talk about? Talk about your rabbis, talk about what you're learning, talk about your experience at the Machon. Find positive things to talk about, find innocent things to talk about, things that are a part of your life. If you can talk about your family, that's good. If you can talk about positive things about your upbringing and your history, good. If you can't, so talk about other things. Talk about life from the time you did tshuva. Talk about what's going on in yeshiva. Ask her. You're interested in knowing who she is. Be careful. Don't let the date become an interview. How old are you? And where did you go to school? And how many siblings do you have? And where did each of them study? And what did you study? And what degree do you have? The date could very easily become an interview, and then no one has any fun. Our goal is to have a pleasant time. Two nice people getting to know one another. And let nature take its course. If the conversation flows, I remember I once dated a girl the night after Binyamin Zev Kahana was murdered with his family. So that was what we discussed on the date, even though ordinarily you don't discuss politics on a first date. But that was very alive. I mean, we felt guilty going on a date the night after such a thing happened. So she felt uncomfortable canceling it, and I felt uncomfortable canceling it, but neither one felt comfortable walking on a date after such a tragic thing happened. So, okay, so that's what we spoke about. You should be yourselves to a degree, right? Don't go spilling all the beans about all the skeletons. We all have skeletons, leave them in the closets. We're still going to discuss later on when we start taking those skeletons out. But the skeletons have to stay in the closet. It's none of her business. If you have an issue with your father, mother, sister, brother, son, daughter, wife, that's none of her business yet. With time, we'll get there. Right now, you're trying to take your best foot forward, get to know the other person, show interest. How do you show interest in the other person? So, body language, body talks, yes? So, you understand that if we're having a conversation like this, then you're not really interested in talking to me, right? You see, there's all kinds of body language that conveys all kinds of things.
like all of a sudden the world becomes interesting. You're like, wow.
Eye contact, looking at your watch, leaning back, scratching yourself all over, making too many movements, that's all indicative that you're not interested. As a child, I started reading up on body language, and I decided to start playing my teachers. So teachers who I liked, I'd lean forward, open my eyes big, look at them, smile. You should have seen how excited they got. Wow, they were shining by the end of the class, and I was laughing, because I was, you know, I was playing them like a fiddle. And then teachers who I didn't like, I'd be like, you know, and I was a good student. But if suddenly the good student is not interested in doing a million other things, so even though I didn't take out anything out of my bag, the teacher was all nervous. Frankenthal, you're not looking at the board. 50 kids in class, why is she talking to me? Because I wanted to I wanted to get on her nerves, and I did. Saying body language talk. So you're on a date, be polite, show interest, get to learn the other person. I told you I was on some very, very annoying dates, but I learned a lot from them. It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience, I have to say. It's the one thing that I actually enjoyed about dating. You get to hear fascinating things, where people come from. It's very interesting. Where else in life do you get to talk to a complete stranger, hear about their life, and interview them? It's interesting. So even if you're not going to marry the person, and sometimes you know it, like on the first second, I wouldn't be too quick to decide, but sometimes you just know it. Like that girl who made fun of me 3 times in the first phone conversation, and then about every 10 seconds on the date. So it's a little hard to show interest in someone that's making fun of you, but you could still learn something. It's still interesting. So what? I have good source material for you guys. It's a decade, more than a decade later, and you're still benefiting from my rough experiences. So okay, you got something out of that. Something we're up to. So body language. I learned late in my dating career that here in Israel, when you take off your watch and you put it down, that's the equivalent of looking at your watch every second. I do it because my hand gets tired of wearing a watch. So instinctively, whenever I'm settled to do something seriously, I take off my watch and I put it down. But to the girls, I didn't catch that. Putting it down was like being a teacher. A girl, finally, like, you know, 1.5, 2 years into my dating, I put my watch down and the girl goes, "Why'd you do that?" And I said, "Why does it bother you?" And she said, "Because now I feel like I'm in class." That's what our teachers always do. Take off their watch and put it down to follow when class is over. Sorry, I put it in my pocket, you know, fell out of my pocket and I lost my watch on that date, but okay, whatever. Some things you don't know. Social norms, meaning in the United States, I don't think it has those connotations. But maybe, yeah. What?
I would have thought that too.
You would have thought that too.
I
would, okay.
I would have thought it would be relaxing, like, you know, like, "Oh, I watched it coming off, but, you know."
Okay. It wasn't what I meant, but I learned late in life what that meant to them. We're talking. I recommend trying to walk a little bit during the date. Don't go to a place where there are dogs. Don't go to a place where there's yichud. Don't go to a place where it's going to be too hot or too cold. Do go to a place where you could buy a drink. Do go to a place where you have a restroom if you need it. Do go to a place where public transportation isn't too far away. I also like, personally, I always like to have a backup plan. Meaning, in case we show up to Gan Soccer and there happens to be a mahal or a protest or a dog show, where do we go now? So I like to have another, something not too far away where we could walk. Worst comes to worst, you walk in a neighborhood. That's also interesting. Yes? Girls usually don't like dogs. Many a guy told me that his date was over on Nagia when the dog walked by. There's an issue that comes up during dating which in the long run needs to be discussed. Maybe we'll tackle it later, and that is the issue of hair covering. If you're dating a girl that's a chozel b'tshuva, so sometimes they have a very big issue with that, covering their hair, but we'll deal with that later on. Okay, you're nearing the end of the first date. How long should the date be? Anywhere from the range of an hour and a half to 2.5, 3 hours if it's going really well. You want to make it 4 hours. So long as the hour is decent, I don't care. You know, you start a date at 11 o'clock in the morning and you guys are hitting it off. I don't care. You could do it like the Haredim in the United States do it. They, They have 8-10 hour marathons, you know. If you only have 6 dates, then you got to make the most of each one, yeah? Start at 10 in the morning and they could end at 10 at night, which is fine, you know. If you guys could talk that long, okay, good for you.
Nobody does that.
Is it the same girl?
I haven't seen anyone do that here, no.
Is it the cultural thing?
Yeah. Here, I haven't seen it.
Wait, is it like 12 hours with the same girl?
Yeah.
I'd go about that.
Yeah. I could do that. Why not? If it's interesting, I was coming off of 6 years sitting in yeshiva straight. Like, I barely saw the sun. So after those 6 years, it was a lot of fun to go out and talk to someone. It's like interesting. But that's another problem. Sometimes a person's in an all-male environment, and you start going cuckoo. You start dying to have someone of the opposite gender to talk to. So beware of that. It's a problem to contend with. Go visit your relatives. Go have some time out. But if you're at that state, so you have to find an outlet. You shouldn't be at the date just dying to have someone to talk to. That's not good. That's not healthy. Okay, so you're nearing the end of the first date. And the date was okay. Okay, so if it's okay, that means you're going on a second date. Don't be quick to nix. Especially a girl that's been around the block. Meaning if this girl's been dating for a year or two already, then in my mind, the first date is worthless. Because so many guys have told her no after the first date that she's not opening up to you on that first date. She's had it with all these bums who say no after one date. So, to my mind, whenever I date a girl that was over 22, which usually meant she'd been dating for at least a year, in the frum circles, I never gave any weight to the first date. Unless it was really, really extreme. If it was just like dull, so then I always gave a second chance. Always agree to a second date. Now, she will not tell you on the date, in most circumstances, she will not tell you on the date whether she's interested in a second date, so don't even try. Be a gentleman. If you've already decided you're interested in a second date, let her walk away from the date feeling good about herself. So I believe on the date, I would tell the girl, I know you're not going to tell me. I'll call you tomorrow, and you'll tell me what you think, but I thought it was a very nice date. I really enjoyed getting to know you. And I'd be very happy to meet you again. I'll call you tomorrow and you'll tell me what you think, what time is good for you. And then the girl tells you what time you could reach her. If you're not sure, you want to think about it, so you tell her, look, I'll be in touch with you tomorrow. Tell me what time I can call. Tomorrow. You guys understand? That's within the next 24 hours. Tomorrow is the day after today. It doesn't matter if today is Sunday, then tomorrow's Monday. If today is Monday, tomorrow's Tuesday. You guys, capiche? Yes, why am I saying this? Because I see all kinds of weird things happening. I set guys up, and they don't bother calling the girl for a week. Well, I ain't setting that guy up again. You call the girl tomorrow. The girl needs to know where she stands. And be a man. If you think she's not for you, then you call her up, and in a minute we'll discuss how you break up. But tell her tomorrow. Don't waste her time and patience and nerves and feelings. Yes?
Something I didn't quite get, just through things, experiences, is that women say one thing and like don't mean it at all. Like, I was okay, so for instance, I was set up with somebody at one time, and so I was asking, okay, so what's the time to call? And she's like, oh yeah, call basically anytime. I'm at work at this time, so don't call, but like, you know, any other time is fine. And then like, I call, she's like, okay, this is your number. I'm like, yeah, she basically hangs up and then blocks the number from her phone. Like, so without telling me anything, that without telling me, okay, like, just don't tell me, like, don't tell me you're not interested. Don't, like, leave me on this whole chase where you're like, call me anytime. I, you know, like.
This wasn't in the frum world, was it?
Hmm?
Wasn't in the frum world.
It was?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Also, like,
takes all kinds, what can I say?
Right. And sometimes they'll say, like, you know, like, oh, no, this is going well. And they think it's horrible. So, like, my basic question is, how do you tell what a girl really means when she says stuff like that? When she's like, oh, no, it's going really well, really well.
We'll get there. We'll get there. It's a good point. We'll get there. We're not yet up to that. Right now, you don't yet know her. You just had one day. I recommend before you hit the bus stop that you make up a time you're going to call her. Don't leave any important conversation for the bus stop because chances are the bus is going to come at a pivotal point in the conversation, Murphy's Law. So any important things like what time can I reach you tomorrow, don't leave that for the last 2 minutes of the date. Do that 5 minutes before the end of the date, before you've hit the bus stop. Now, most girls, I don't know about most girls, it depends what circles you'll be dating in. In many crowds, the girls do not want you to bring them to the house. They want to be let off at a bus stop. In some crowds, the girls do want to be brought home or do want to be brought. You could ask the shadchan. You'll learn the crowd you're dating in. Meaning, in the more modern circles, sometimes they want to be brought to the door and they want you to take them to the door. Merkaz Arav circles, so then they don't want you to come all the way to the door. They don't want all the neighbors and friends and everyone seeing you. You're going to have to learn within whichever circle you're dating what's acceptable, and you could offer the girl and see what she wants. Very often the girl will say, no thanks, I don't want to be seen with the likes of you. Yes?
I was a little bit confused because when you said you were discussing
so here in Israel, in the Dati Lumi crowd, the acceptable thing is that after the Shadchan sets you up, everything goes directly between the boy and the girl. In the Dati Lumi crowd here in Israel, right. In the United States, it goes through Shadchan, right. It's a totally different world. You don't talk to the girl. After the first date, you call back the Shadchan and you tell the Shadchan either I'm interested, I'm not, or I want to think about it. And you could say, I'm very interested, I don't know how interested, whatever. But that's in the United States. Here in Israel, in the Dati Lumi crowd, and I should stress that all our discussions here are the crowd that I assume you guys will be dating in the Dati Lumi crowd here in Israel. So things go directly, which is sad. It's a pity, but that's how it goes. That's the norm here.
Oh, there's no divergence.
In the Dati Lumi crowd, generally everything goes directly. Yeah, unless things changed in the last decade, but I've been in the scene. I'm not aware of any changes. It's nicer, yes, at least for the first 3 days, yeah. Okay, before I will set up a person, there are certain criteria I have. I ask them their basic information. I ask them if there's any medical information that I should know or any history that I should know. Sometimes it's none of my business. Sometimes they'll tell me things which is none of the girl's business at the onset. And I ask, do you have an adult to consult with? It could be a Rebbe, it could be a parent, it could be an uncle, it could be a best friend, but it should be someone who's older than you, has more experience than you, has seen more of life than you. And if a person does not have someone like that to consult with, so I say, if you want, you could talk to me. If it's a girl, I say, you could talk to my wife. But I will not set up a person if they do not have someone wiser, hopefully wiser, but definitely more experienced than them, to consult with. And the reason is that I find it's a waste of time. We've had so many couples that made sense, that were perfect matches, but for stupid reasons, they broke up. So I set up a guy, he's divorced with 3 kids, and he can't get a date, and I set him up with a girl, and he calls me up after the first date, and he says, that was perfect, I want exactly a girl like that. So I said, then why don't you continue with her? What do you mean, like that? He said, yeah, but I don't like her accent. So exactly that, just with a different accent. And I'm thinking, hey, you're divorced with 3 kids, and that's exactly what you're looking for. Why don't you give the accent like 2-3 more dates and see? And he says, no, I just can't stand her accent. I will not date her again, but I need exactly that girl without the accent. Okay, what can I say? Another guy, he's 40, she's 38, perfect match, they're holding by engagement, but they break up. Why do they break up? He has a job in the Golan, she has a job in the South. Well, there's no way they could get married, because she has a top job in the South, and he has a top job in the North. You can't get married that way. So I say these people are crazy, but it's not their fault that they're crazy, it's their fault that they have no one to talk to. So people make stupid mistakes. A couple's engaged, so the girl's best friend is recently divorced, tells her, take all your savings, invest it in your own name before you get married. And then I get wind of this. I told the guy, don't get engaged. Leave her. Goodbye. Nothing to talk about. If that's your approach to marriage, goodbye. There's nothing to talk about. You choose. Are you getting married or are you leaving 1 foot on the diving board? You can't jump off a diving board and leave 1 foot on. You get hurt that way. Either we're in together or not in together. If she had investments from 15 years ago in her name, no, I can't blame her for that. She's about to get engaged to the guy. It seems right. So quickly, put it all in your name? Okay, no, I'm sorry. Then, what? If it's in a bank account, then we're going to have a mutual bank account. So today I'm more liberal. I've discovered there are couples who have separate bank accounts and all kinds of things. And what can I say? To each his own. I'm not going to fight City Hall. I'm not a fan of it. I don't think it's healthy. I don't think it's right. I think it's a part of the weakness that people have when they enter marriage, that they're not willing to put their faith in the marriage. You enter marriage, you have a mutual bank account, you put everything together, you're building life together. But this all brings us back to that point. You ended that first date. Don't be so quick on the trigger. Don't be so quick to say, no, that's not it. You guys are it's a big problem, because in today's scene, very often a guy has 5 shidduch offers every 2 days. A girl has 2 shidduch offers every year. A guy has 5 every 2 days. So he's like, easy going, big deal. I got another 5 girls waiting for me. So I really have an issue with this, that guys are so quick to nix girls, and you should give her another chance and get to know her a little better. It's not right that you're so quick to say no. And I'm telling you, people have made the mistakes of their lives on this. And that's why today I won't set up a person. Part of the form when I interview a person is, who do you consult with? Because I've seen people nix after a first date, and I've seen people nix when they were holding my engagement over stupid things, where if they'd only talk to someone who has more experience, they tell them, no, you don't nix over that. And I could tell you there have been, I don't know, I haven't kept the count, but there have been many couples who were holding by engagement, and then one of the side was going to make a really stupid move, and when we spoke about it, I explained to them, you know, I'm sorry, but you're never going to find a better match than this. This is right, and the issue you have is an issue you'll have with any girl that's right, or the issue you have is an issue you'll have with any guy that's right. There's nothing wrong with this shidduch. There's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with your approach to marriage. And there's no reason to nix this shidduch. And I've seen, it's not only me, anyone who has a little bit of experience, we've seen that people are ready to make really stupid mistakes when they have the best shidduch in the world. They nix it, and they destroy it, and they destroy it for themselves. And that's why I strongly recommend, not only after the first date, in general, you need someone who has experience, who has your best interest at heart, and who will be able to think it through with you. Yes.
You said that like guys have this too much choice thing and they're too quick to nix with, but I don't know, my impression has been that that's the problem with the girls. I mean, a lot of times like I've been prepared to go on a second date or a third date or whatever, and the girls aren't prepared to. It seems fairly okay to me. I mean, I wasn't about to nix it after 1 or 2 days. It seemed okay. It doesn't even seem very good enough.
We'll get to that, Pinsat Hashem. We'll discuss that. We discussed you guys. We didn't discuss what happens, why the girls say no so fast, and how the girls leave you feeling like 2 cents when they say no. We'll get to that. Yeah.
We should ask her if she consults with someone who's older than her mentor. We should ask her the question you recommend.
Okay. So, I can tell you like this. Generally, it's none of your business who she consults with. But sometimes you have a situation where your dating is going good, and suddenly she has an issue which you feel is a non-issue, or you feel is something which you could work out. And then it's fair to tell her, why don't we consult with someone? My wife and I were in the middle of a date, and we had something which we weren't sure how to approach. And we were right near Rabbanit, who I strongly admired the way she brought up her kids. She was a widow, and I learned Chavrusa with some of her kids. And so I said, why don't we go knock on her doors? In the middle of the date, we're in the middle of a discussion. We went up to her house, and we knocked on the door, and I asked her if she has a few minutes. And we spoke to her. And there were points in my dating with my wife where my wife was uncertain about certain things, and I encouraged her, if she feels comfortable, to talk to her teachers, to talk to people who have experience. I think it's fair to suggest it. She's her own girl, it's her own life, but there are times when a girl really could benefit from counseling someone too. I have the same rule for boys and girls, meaning I won't set up a person, a boy or a girl, unless they have, one, heard some series on dating. It doesn't have to be mine. It could be Rav Yehoshua Shapiro's or Binyan Shalem or something else. But they have to have heard a series, because very often people approach it with misconceptions and unfair expectations. And two, they have to have someone to consult with.
That's important that they have...
But that's my criterion. It doesn't have to be a rabbi. It could be a parent. It could be an uncle. It could be a mentor. Someone with experience and hopefully a Jewish perspective. Hopefully. But, you know, that's... I can't test that.
I wonder with girls that are older, if it could be an issue that might think, listen, I've been there before in the consulting stage, and now I'm more on my own.
Quite the contrary. Quite the contrary. My experience is the older they get, the more they realize they need consulting. It's the younger girls that think they know it all. The older girls already realize there's what to be learned, and things get more complex as people get older. Life gets more complicated. People become more ingrained in their ways.
If the hesitancy is going to rabbis, rabbis, let's say matters of hashkafa or religious differences, that's something that might be worthwhile to look out for.
That we'll have to address in the future classes, how to deal with that. That'll be part of the question of when a girl says, I have an issue with covering my hair. Or a girl says, or in general, a girl's approach or a guy's approach to Ashkafa and Halakha, but that's, we have to discuss that at greater length. We'll get there, Bezat Shem.